Mr. R.
My name is Teresa, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Teresa.
And just for today, I just want to thank God for allowing me to be here. You know, I want to thank my friend Judith in this area for asking me to come here and speak and share my experience, strengths, and hope. You know, it's so funny because I was just telling another friend of mine, it's like I was trying to think of 100 ways to get out this meet. You know what I mean? I come here every year, right, and I just like to just come and hang out, you know, but I guess it's just my time to come here and share my experience, strengths, and hope. You know, but at the end of the day, I'm still grateful, you know. And my topic is pain is inevitable and suffering is optional. You know, and for me, that topic is real sentimental because it just reminds me that I was looking it up how it says that pain is something that is certain to happen but unavoidable. It's certain that I'm going to be in pain at times. And sometimes it's just unavoidable. I can't do nothing about it, you know. But when it talked about the suffering part, I looked at it as it said it was a state of feeling of great distress or discomfort with the mind or body. So me, it just kind of tells me that it's more important of how I deal with my pain or how much suffering I'm going to have, you know. So it's just like, let me just start up saying like this, you know, let me touch on a little bit of my story. You know, when I first started using, I get that when I started getting high, how a lot of my suffering was going to be due to my drug use. I didn't know it in the beginning. But as time go on, I understand that by me using and the things I had to do to get one more was going to cause a lot of suffering in my life. You know, and that the pain for me, it really was unavoidable because I had to do everything that I needed to do to get one more. And it didn't matter what it was. Lie, cheat, steal, trick, you know what I mean? Just do whatever, you know. And I'm so glad that a lot of times people come in here and share their experience, strengths, and hope because it reminds me that I'm not alone. I'm not unique and now haven't done anything that the next person haven't done. So I'm grateful for the lady who just did the main meeting because I could identify with everything that she shared, you know. But I'm also grateful today that I don't live like that today, you know. And I'm glad to know that I have a choice because when I got here, I really didn't even know that I had a choice with a lot of stuff. I thought that everything that I thought that I had that came in my mind, I pretty much did because I didn't know no other way. You know, I didn't know how to really stop lying when I got here. I ain't know how to stop tricking. I ain't know how to love myself when I got here. A lot of that I learned when I got here because for me, love was always equated to I had to do something for you in order for me to know that that's what love was. But today I realized love has nothing to do with what I can do for you. Love is about unconditional, that you're going to show me love with no strings attached. And really, I had it all my life because I come from a household that always showed me unconditional love, but I never knew that's what it was. I never knew that's what it was. You know, I come from a household, two parents, you know, that all my life I used to think that my parents all wanted to do was run my life, and really that's what they were supposed to do. You know what I mean? They never asked much of us. All they said was go to school, do your chores, and do your homework. But for a person like me, it was too much to ask for. And because of that, my mother also was the type of person, they was like, you do as I say and not as I do. You know, I come from a household, they ain't care about how you felt about what they said. They didn't care about how you felt about it, like, well, how you feel about what I'm telling you what to do. Your feelings didn't matter. So for me, I knew how to stuff my feelings real early because my mother and I never said, well, how do you feel? How do you feel? So all my, I'm telling you, mostly all my life, and I still struggle with it today, that sometimes I stuff my feelings because I think that how I feel is not important. And because of that, I act in ways in order to get the right attention that I need for myself or I think I need. I do things, you know. So for me, when I started using drugs, it was real easy. I never used because I was forced to do it. I was always a follower and not a leader. I didn't use because I came from a bad family. I used simply because I wanted to fit with the in crowd. It was easy for me to put my arm out and let a man stick a needle in my arm because he said, try this. I wanted to be with him, so I was willing to do whatever he wanted me to do. You know, my dad was the type, he never hugged us. He never said, I loved you. My father say, check this out. I pay the bills in this damn house, and that's enough love for y'all. That's where I come from. So in my mind, I really feared my father growing up because my father was the type that if we ain't do what he told us to do, we would get some serious ass whippings. The kind where he lay you across your lap, take a belt, and beat the living shit out of you. That's the kind of butt whippings we got. So I feared my father early on, you know, whereas though I always was scared to talk to him, but I also come from a household, and I used to hate, I ain't gonna say hate, I used to dislike my mom because my mother and father was the type, by them being married and you having kids, they work together. So if we got in trouble, my mother always talked about it with my father. I hated that. I hated it. You know what I mean? So therefore, when I started using drugs, it's because I ran away from home because I didn't want to do what they wanted me to do. And I remember, right, I remember one time my father was the type, he don't believe in, he come from the country, so he don't believe in people knowing your business inside that house. We used to get beaten behind that. So he believed whatever go on in the house, stay in this house, and nobody better not hear about it. So I remember one time, right, I wanted to smoke cigarettes, and my father said, you can smoke, but I better not catch you smoking out on the corner. And I remember I stayed out all night one night, I never forget it, and came home and asked my mother for a cigarette. That was the worst thing I could have did. Mm-hmm. And she said, you with them niggas all night, you can't get no cigarettes? The next night, I was with this guy, I'll never forget it. I begged him after I gave all my ass up, before I go home, I'm gonna need a pack of cigarettes. And from that moment on, it just let me know, well, let me see what else I could get. Because I wasn't going home without a pack of cigarettes, you know. And it was so funny because I would love to tell y'all that a lot of things I did was because I was looking for love in all the wrong places. But for real, it was never, I was never the girl. Sometimes I wish I was her. I was never the girl who looked for the drug dealer boyfriends or wanted to be the drug dealer's girlfriend or was with guys because of what they could do for me. I was simply with people because I hated myself and I didn't want to be by myself. Nothing else. Nothing else. Unfortunately, I never knew that I could just be with somebody without doing something. I always gave way more of myself than I was willing to give. Always. Always. And it cost me a whole lot. A whole lot in the end. You know, I had no idea that would lead me to my road of destruction. My road of destruction. You know, because I was a girl that when I was young, it was easy. Like I say, everything I did was, and I realized because I always looked for that love in my father, I thought I didn't have. So everything that I did was in search of that love through every man I had ever been with my whole entire life. Meaning if I was with this man and he told me he loved me, he told me sell my ass on the street, that's what I did. Because I wasn't the girl who started out like that. I was the girl who had a pimp on the street and gave all my money to in the end. I was the girl who started out easy turning tricks for $100 and $200, but at the end would take $2 just to get one more. I was the girl jumped in and out of cars every day and all night, turned tricks everywhere to get one more. It wasn't no shame in my game. I was a girl that at 12 years old and 13 that ran away from home, didn't know no better, who slept in and out people's houses and didn't even have underwear to put on. The girl who took dirty underwear out her girlfriend's hamper and turned them inside out and shook them off and put them on. And it's so funny because I forget that shit. And for real, I don't even think I ever said that part out loud ever. But I was thinking about it today. I was thinking about it today, how I lived, like I was living like that before I was even caught up in drugs. I lived like that. So when the drugs came out into play for me, it just made a lot of things a whole lot easier for me to not feel nothing. all of my wrongs always seem right to me. Mm-hmm. Every last one of them. Every last one of them. So for me, when it comes to lying, was always easy for me. I mean, easy to the point, I feel like sometimes I could have really won Academy Award behind it. Because I could lie very, very well that I convinced myself. Like, I would argue with you if you didn't believe my lie. I would. And be ready to fight you over it, too. You know? But it's real funny how when tables get turned in your life and you start getting back the very shit you put out. Because I realized you, for me, I never understood the things I put out until I got my turn with some stuff. Until I got my turn with some stuff. Because at the end of my road, when I stopped, when I was trying to get to the end of my addiction, I never forget the worst pain I ever felt was that when I turned the trick and I went up in his house and I thought that I was going to get some money. And the guy literally, seriously told me, he said, check this out. I just, you know, was ready. I'm always ready. I'm getting my shit ready, take my clothes off. And he was like, you ain't got to worry about that. First, you need to pray. And I was like, I ain't got time. Pray for what? He said, because for real, this your last day on this earth. He meant it. He meant it. And all I know, I thought he was joking for real. And I was like, what you talking about? He was like, this your last day on this earth. And I remember for the first time ever saying, Lord, don't let me die in this house where my parents can't find me. In East Baltimore, I'll never forget it. And before I knew it, he was like, turn around. And he pulled out this, it's like this, that rope that kind of, and before I knew it, he wrapped it around my neck so fast. And he just pulled it so tight. And I can remember my eyes feeling like they was just rolling up in my head. And when I came to, I don't remember. I remember him trying to pull my clothes off. And when I came to, I was in a hole in an abandoned building, turned upside down like you dump trash out. I had this shirt wrapped around my neck like a noose and boards and everything thrown on me. I thought I was dreaming when I came to. And it was light when I went in, but it was dark when I came out. And I'm telling you, it was only through God's grace that I came up out that house. I knew then that God had his hand on me. And that's when that moment, I was like, Lord, if you get me out of this, I swear I will go get me some help. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. It was 1 week exactly before I got clean. And I remember I went in the hospital, I came out, I went into treatment, and I went into treatment the end of August. I got clean. My first clean day was September the 7th, 1994. I ain't never looked used again. I told myself I couldn't live like that again. I just didn't want to keep living that animalistic life no more. I couldn't do it. I couldn't. Because I knew that I was going to die. I knew it. You know, but for me, it was just like, I had no idea that when I came here to the fellowship, for me, I knew that I wanted to stay clean when I got here. That's all I knew. I ain't know nothing about changing my way of thinking. I ain't know about changing my life, living different. I ain't know nothing about that. So when I got here, they made it real simple. They was just like, just go to 90 meetings in 90 days, get you a sponsor, you know what I mean, and don't pick up. That was real easy to do. Pick somebody, okay, I'll pick somebody, I'll go to meetings and I won't pick up. That's what I did. They ain't tell me to use the sponsor, they just said pick them. They didn't, they just say pick a sponsor. I ain't know nothing about no work or nothing because I still brought the same person in here. I was a girl who came in here and still creeped around and said I ain't messing with nobody in the fellowship, I'm going to do it on the outside. Because I thought the people on the outside was better than the people in the meeting, only to know the same crazy people out there is in here. You know, I was a girl who came in here and didn't want to tell y'all nothing about myself because I really thought that y'all wasn't going to understand me. When I came in here, I used to walk into the meeting looking down at the floor. When I spoke to you, I never looked in your face. That's how low I felt about myself. But thank God for the women in this fellowship used to tell me, hold your head up, sister. You don't got to look at the floor no more. I'm glad they taught me that. I ain't know that about myself when I got here because I ain't feel worthy. You know, they always say, you don't got to never look at the floor no more. You look people in the eye when you talk to them. They told me they gonna love me, they was gonna love me till I learned to love myself, and that's exactly what they did. I'm telling you, when I got here, people did everything for me. Everything. They took me to meetings, they fed me. It was like so easy for me that I really didn't have to do a whole lot of work, but just, they say, just come to the meeting and we got you. And that's exactly what they did. They had me. You know, this day going, pain is inevitable. Let me tell you something. This how it started out for me. When I got here, right, and I'm gonna touch on the pain part first. Because I didn't know a lot about what it was like to be a woman, because I always thought I'm a female, I'm of age, so that what makes me a woman. I had no idea that being a woman, it had so much more, what had to do with my character, what I stood for, what I believed in, you know, all of that, how to be honest. You know, I ain't know nothing about that. So because I didn't know all about that, I was the type of person always lived in this fantasy that I'm going to make you see me for who I want you to see me as. Because I really didn't know who I was. You know, all I knew is that I was a girl that just wanted somebody to love me, and I was still willing to do anything to get it. You know, so the pain, a lot of pain came to me early because I lived in a fantasy. I always thought that everybody I met was going to be my boyfriend. Because it always went like this. I meet you the day I like you. I take you home. I sleep with you. Because I would love to say I date and all that. I don't know what the hell a date is. You know what I mean? I ain't never waited 90 days to have sex with nobody, you know, let alone a week. How about this? Let alone a day. If I meet you today, we normally going to have sex tonight. That's the truth. So because of that, it got me a lot of pain, you know. And because of that, not only that, it wasn't just having sex with him. I got to go the whole nine yards because in my mind, I'm already down years, we gonna get married, and you know, it's gonna be the whole everything. So, you know, of course, I gotta move you in and shit. I gotta move you in because I need you right there with me. I don't want to be alone, you know, because it only took one requirement for me to say you was my boyfriend, and it was that I meet you, I like you, you do it to me real good, and you my boyfriend. That's it. It didn't take much. So because of that, I had no idea. Like, when I'm out there using and I'm tricking, I'm giving up all myself. I didn't know I was doing the same thing. It's just now that I'm clean, I sleep with you, I'm really tricking. I give you everything that's precious to me, but not just that. I'm not getting no money in return. You ain't giving me shit now. I'm giving you all my shit. All of it. Not just self, I'm talking about the keys to the house, the keys to the car, the fucking bank card, everything, PIN number, everything. I don't even know where the fuck you come from. Last name, nothing. Just stay home with me, don't leave, you know. Self-esteem so low, I can't even see it damn near at this point. And this was some years clean. You know, the kind of shit that so low that, hey, you staying with me, I'm paying all the bills. You don't even got to pay none. None. You know, the type of stuff where they sleeping in your bed, but you really want them to go, but you don't know how to say, you got to get out. So you sleeping on this little part of your king-side bed and shit, and they got all the bed. It's crazy. It's crazy. The kind of shit where you gotta go to work in the morning because they ain't got a job, but they done stayed out with some chick all night and you catching a fucking cab to work. It's a hell of a thing when you don't love yourself and you don't think highly of yourself. I will do anything in that state. In that state. Not even realize how much pain this shit is causing me because I damn near lost my mind. You know, because in my mind, I don't have enough sense to know, damn, Teresa, you damn near on your way to 40 and you trying to have a relationship with a fucking 19-year-old. Can't even buy a drink yet. You know, to the point, I'm telling you, it was crazy. Like, when I was gone, because it was all because I was chasing a feeling. Because the truth, my mind was gone. Like, the sex was one thing, but I was so confused. It was just like, I couldn't tell if I wanted to fuck him in the morning and take a belt and whip his ass like his mother at night. That's how crazy I was. I'm telling you. Seriously. And what's funny is I couldn't even stop myself if I wanted to. I could not stop. I couldn't. Like, I literally had to cry out to people in the fellowship to come and help me to save my life. I could not stop it once I was caught up in that shit. I don't wish that on nobody, because in the end, I tried to kill myself. I tried to kill myself. And I was doing a whole lot of dumb shit that just prolonged my damn suffering. He ain't got no kids. My daughter was the same age as him at the time. My daughter was like, "Mom, something is wrong with you. You need to get yourself together." You know, all the while, I'm planning this life with, now he 20. I'm planning a life with a 20-year-old. Don't got no babies. Here, I got a daughter. He want kids. I can't have none. And I got the nerve be searching motherfucking foster care like I'm adopt a baby and shit. I was doing some real dumbass shit. You know, it's amazing. It's so funny. And in the end, when it was all over, it's funny that when he left, he stole half of the shit that I owned. But a friend of mine's in this fellowship said, "You know what? It's best to lose a couple of dollars than to be rid of his ass." Yes, right. So it was worth it in the end. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's funny because in that moment, I really told myself, it's plenty times in my recovery where I've had to make certain surrenders how I don't want to live that way no more. Don't want to live that way no more. And I can't tell you how many times how I realized how God has truly had his hand on me, because everything I did was destructive and I have tried to kill myself and didn't even realize that's what I was doing. Without drugs. Without drugs. Because I was the girl who got here really thought that drugs was my problem. And like they say, they only my problem when I'm using it. Because even today, I still tell myself, I really think I know how to live without drugs. And it's fucked up that I don't know. Mm. When it comes to a whole bunch of stuff, I think I know. I do, but I don't. And lately, I've been running a lot of my thinking through a lot some people, because sometimes I don't trust my own thinking. Just to get a different perspective on it. You know, it's amazing how a lot of times I got to look up a lot of words because I think I know the meaning of it. Don't only realize that ain't what that shit mean at all. And I'm not a dumb person, but at the same time, you know, I realize I don't know everything. I don't know everything. You know, a couple years ago, almost 2 years ago, it's funny, I lost my mom, and I understand that's one of those things that's unavoidable and stuff happens, you know. But when I think about, even though my mother was like one of my greatest supporters and I miss my mother every day, and even though that pain was hard, that pain was not as hard as some of the shit I done put myself through. It wasn't. That was one of the easier things to deal with. Even though I miss her because I had the opportunity to be home with her and do hospice with her and take care of her. So it was like kind of easy, even though I miss her. But some other stuff that I do is hard as hell. It's hard. It's hard. So it's like, for me, to get around to how they say suffering is optional. Even though I know it's optional, it lets me know that my suffering, I don't have to suffer if I'm willing to do the work that it takes for me not to suffer. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, I ain't always willing to do the work, mm-hmm, on a lot of days. I just be complacent. I don't want to do the hard work. I think shit just going to pass by. You know, tomorrow going to be a better day. And it don't work like that. It don't. It don't. You know, I admire people who come to this fellowship and they get busy right away. I admire that. I ain't never been her. Never. I ain't never been her. I would love to stay here and tell y'all, oh, my high power is the first person I go to for everything. I can't tell y'all that lie. That's the last person I go to. Because it's hard to go to a power when you think you are the power. Or you have it. Or you think you know everything. And you the smartest person. It's hard to pray to that power. You know, it's amazing how some days it's easier for me to pray for you than it is to pray for myself. Some days I can't even pray for myself. And I think that's what prolongs a lot of my suffering, because I know that that's where I gotta go at. I know it. It's a hell of a thing to know something and still won't fucking do it. My sponsor told me 2 months ago, right? We was talking, and she said, so, when you gonna finish going through this flat book? Because in 22 years, I'm going to tell y'all, I went through step work one time, and that was it. That was it. That was it. Only to realize because of that, she was like, I realized I'm never going to get what this program has to offer for me. And if I don't do what's necessary for me. So she told me 2 months ago, okay, you finished that fourth step. You've been sitting on it almost 3 months now. When are you going to come to my house so we can go over it? So I kept telling her I was coming. I ain't got there yet. So my high power, as he always does for me what I can't do for myself. A group of women in my area put together this little support group. And they chose me to be part of the support group. Because I guess my higher power knew exactly what I needed. He knew what I needed. He needed to place me with a group of women that I was going to be forced to really look at myself. And for me, it was just what I needed. To get started with moving forward. Because I'm easily to get stuck. And I'll stay there. You know, sometimes I could get real comfortable with my pain. Real comfortable. As crazy as it is, pain can be so familiar to me that I'll just hold on to it. Even if it's killing me. You know, so it's like just for the day, my last few, let me say about 4 weeks now, I kind of been doing a whole lot more to participate in my recovery than I've ever did in a long time. In a long time, if the truth be told. You know. And it started making me feel a lot better about myself. It started making me see differently because I'm not just looking through my eyes. You know what I mean? I'm looking through other people's eyes and other people helping me see something different than what I've always looked, because what I got in touch with, I'm a person with tunnel vision. Meaning, if I see something and I'm looking straight, I don't see nothing else on this side or that side. I just go straight. So I can miss all my blessings all around me because I'm only looking one way. One way. You know, and it's funny because I'm the type of person, if to know me, I really am a loving and caring person. But I've learned a lot of shit about myself lately like you wouldn't believe. I had no idea that I could be envious. I could be judgmental. I could be a really mean person. I never really known that about myself because I never know it until I'm put in situations. And sometimes I ain't even mad about the situations that I get put in because that's the only way I'm going to know what I'm really working with and what I'm really built with. You know, I've learned that I'm a person who can finally say that just for the day, I really do love myself. And I think a lot about myself. One thing about me, I want my character to speak for me. Like what the walk that I walk, I really want to be about that. I ain't a person to say I don't care about what people think about me because I do. Meaning that if I tell you something, I want my word to mean something to you. Because that's really all I have, my word. I want to tell you the truth. You know, and I get that a lot of times. It's hard to be honest with people. But I want to be honest with people because I want people to be honest with me. Because I realize I can deal with the truth way better than I can with a lie. I can. Because I want the ability to make my own decisions without having my decisions made for me or taken away from me or my choices. That's one thing I hate. Don't take my choice away from me. I don't like that. You know, because I'm the girl who really come from always never been faithful, always told lies, always cheated and all of that. So now my roles have flipped. I don't live like that no more. I don't live like that no more. I know how to be faithful in a relationship. And that's only because I love you too, Faith. It's only because I've learned how to love myself because I realize I can't give you what I don't have. And it really takes me to love myself in order to love somebody else. It does. I've learned how to do that. And it has nothing to do with sex. Because I always thought sex was love. One has nothing to do with the other. Nothing. Nothing. How about can you still love me when you ain't having sex with me? You know. Can you still be with me when I'm no longer acting like how I was in the beginning when you first met me? Or how about can I stay with you and be with you when you ain't doing it? Let me say that, because sometimes when I ain't getting what I want, I act a certain kind of way. And I realize you have to give the same thing that you want back in return. You know how sometimes we get in relationships and we name 100 things that we want somebody else to have and we ain't got near one of them? That's hard. I got to bring some of the same things to the table that I want you to bring. You know, one thing it's uncomfortable to be in pain. But just for the day, I accept the pain that I get. I do. Because I know pain has to happen. Because pain is what helps me grow. And pain is also something else that helps me to just see what I'm working with and where my feet at and how I can stand. There's no way around it. You know, let's say this. A few years ago, right, and my husband, he ain't here, because my husband is a big part of my story of things that I'm dealing with today. And normally, I'm cool. I'm cool with my husband being in a meeting with me. Sometimes it's the other way around. I ain't cool with being in a meeting with him when he share. But because the same things I share with y'all, I share with him, so I have no problem with him being in here. You know, I was at this convention 12 years ago when I met my husband here. And it's funny because when I met him, I had just started working on myself some about a year prior to that. So it went just like that. I met him Thursday, Friday. No, yeah, I met him Saturday. I was going to give him some, but he kind of stopped me in the truck. Sunday, we got back to Baltimore. He came to my house. We did what he did. Wednesday, I moved him in. I did. I went with him, told him, pack his shit up. Come on, take me home with me. We've been together ever since. Now, I wouldn't advise nobody do that shit. I'm telling you, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because doing that shit caused me a whole lot of pain. Us. Because one, I had no idea. I didn't know him, and he didn't know me. So it was a learning experience all the way through. All the way through. You know, because I set up house. I knew everything that I wanted. You know what I'm saying? Had no idea the pain that was going to come along with me living like that. But now when I look back, it's parts of me wouldn't change anything that I went through just to get to where I'm at today. Because for a long time, a lot of stuff that I went through in my relationship with my husband, I blamed him's ass for everything. But I realized I was part of that too, part of that relationship. And a lot of times, everything that happens don't always happen to me. It happens for me. Because it shows me on the areas that I really need to work on. I really need to work on. And I always tell my husband, that I'm the type of person that I am a really keep it 100 type of chick. That if you tell me the truth, I probably might not like it, but at least I know what I'm working with. Don't take my goddamn choices away from me. Because this is what I learned. Right, I learned that when you lie to me, I'm liable to act a certain kind of way that you ain't gonna like. See, I ain't know that I was the type of person that would put my hands on people. But I did, and I ain't proud of that. You know. But it's a hell of a thing to be in a relationship with another recurring addict. And shit happened. You don't know how you gonna act when shit go wrong, go left. And one thing about it here, you can't go through nothing in this fellowship that everybody ain't going to know. So sometimes you can't sit around here and judge people what they go through in their relationships. Because when your ass get a turn, be able to come in here and hee-hee and laugh about that shit when it's your turn. Because it ain't funny. It ain't funny. You know what I mean? Because I realize at the end of the day, I'm still a good person. You know? So. We had I ain't even gonna call it a situation. He had a situation where, I guess as a man, he do what he do. And I can deal with a lot of things. I don't like lying and I don't like cheating. They two things I don't like. I don't. I'm gonna need you to be honest with me about that. And the reason why I don't like it, because I realize those are the two things that will cause me to wanna go to jail or do homicide. And I came close to both of them. And it wasn't because it happened. It was because you took my ability away to make a choice. That's why it happened. Because I'm the type, if you tell me the truth, I might stay. I might be willing to stay and work it out. Even though I stayed anyway. But it just made my staying that much harder because I didn't know what I was dealing with in the stand. And another thing, let me just say this, people. In 2017, and I say this to me and everybody, we all do what we do, but in 2017, please, people, practice safe sex. Please, people. Please. Practice safe sex. Because in the midst, the one thing about me, right, what I've learned is I've always been able to, people always say to me back home, how do you stay in a marriage that has so much going on? And I tell people, I say, one, I love my husband. In spite of no matter what we go through, I love this man. I love him. But I love me too. And not only that, it's kind of easy for me to stay because of the vows that I made to the God of my understanding. That's what makes it easy for me to stay. I think I'm more concerned with the wrath of God by breaking them than what could come from my husband. I'm scared of that. So I'm willing to just stay and do the work. And it's hard. But the end of the day is always worth it in the end. Because little by little, I'm learning. And I heard the lady share tonight about praying for somebody who you have a resentment for. Because I had a resentment for a long time. But it's easing up some. But I do things that don't cause me pain. Like if you're going through something in your relationship, I suggest this, like especially if infidelity is involved. When somebody cheat on you, don't do like I do that after they cheat on you. Don't get up every motherfucking day and watch Maury Povich. Because that shit will feed into your obsession. And every time he come home, I be wanting to beat the shit out of him. I be looking at that shit. I be like, he was looking at me the same way. Same, saying the same shit. Like, I literally have not watched that show in a month and a half. That's how bad it was. I was like, I'm not watching Maury come hella high water. Because I had to do it. Like, it's amazing what you watch and what you hear will feed into your disease. It will feed into your disease. And I had to stop watching that. I had to stop watching all them cheating and lying shows. I had to stop watching them. Sometimes, every now and then, we like little shows come on, loving hip-hop, and we be laughing and stuff, and every now and then, I see some old cheating shit, and I cut my eye over there at them, like, you know. But we laugh about it. We can talk and laugh about it, you know, because it's like, it just, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, all I could say is that, you know, like I say, pain is just something you can't avoid and you can't get around. But suffering is definitely something that I can do about. I don't have to suffer. All I got to do is do what this program suggests. You know what I'm saying? Do all the work, do the step work, you know what I mean? Stay connected, come in here and share my experience, strengths, and hope. I know that secrets die in the light of exposure. I know I'm not unique. You know I have a choice that I don't have to always do what I think. That alone just helps me get better a little bit day by day. You know, so it was just like, I just suggest that newcomers just give yourself a break. Give yourself a break. Don't be hard on yourself. You know, and the only thing I can suggest is don't use. Because you're going to do some shit around here. Just don't get high behind it. Don't get high behind it. Because I ain't the girl to tell you ain't going to do some stuff. You're going to do it. We all done it. I'm just want to come in here and tell that I done it. Because I don't want nobody to ever think that I'm unique. You know. So just for the day, you know, I'm not going to be so hard on myself and give myself a break. You know. I'm going to give myself a break. I don't know. So with that, I'll just keep coming back.
Thanks.